Good evening. My name is Carolyn Wolgamuth. As a city resident and city taxpayer, I want to formally object to tonight's agenda item, closed session number 2, regarding the Salisbury Town Center litigation. Ms. Rena Patel, who represented the Salisbury Board of Appeals at the March 4th Circuit Court Appeal hearing on the Salisbury Town Center apartments, had absolutely nothing to say at the hearing. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. Why then do you need to consult with her now? And lest you think I've forgotten, council met with her last week in another closed session regarding the Salisbury Town Center apartments, to which I and others objected. As a city taxpayer, I too want to know, quote, what, if any, legal action the city should take on the Salisbury Town Center litigation, unquote. This should be an open discussion. And by the way, this same city attorney, Ms. Patel, is not doing this gratis. She's charging the city a hefty hourly fee for this, quote unquote, advice. How much is this costing us? The FY25 budget is fast approaching. Do we want to spend money to fix our infrastructure for police and fire services, our roads, our streets, our traffic lights, and to buy new trash vehicles and equipment? Or do we want to spend money on Ms. Patel's legal fees to essentially join a developer's battle to get his way? Closed sessions have become the norm rather than the exception here. Closed sessions by design are the opposite of transparent. The discussion of matters regarding the Salisbury Town Center behind closed doors is what initially got the city into this mess. And here again, Ms. Patel gave her legal advice at the June 20th closed session when dozens of concerned citizens came to hear the facts and were excluded from the meeting. That closed meeting with Ms. Patel resulted in its designation as an illegal closed meeting by Maryland's Open Meetings Compliance Board, the minutes of which have yet to be released, as you well know. The council has repeatedly met in closed sessions on this very same topic. It's high time for meetings behind closed doors to end. The facts and the truth need to finally see the light of day. Hold the discussion regarding any possible Salisbury Town Center litigation in an open session. Our taxes are paying for this legal advice, so let us hear it. Thank you.
Please state your name, your address, or your organization for the record. Could you state your name and your organization, the address or the organization, please?
I am not speaking on behalf of anyone but myself as a city.
Could you just state your address, please, Ms. Carolyn?
Pardon me?
Could you just state your address for the record, please?
That's not required in your rules. All right.
Nancy Roysom. Nancy Roysom.
My name is Nancy, is that good? Roysom. I live at 209 Beaver Dam Drive, Salisbury, Maryland. And I'm speaking about Town Center apartments and density. If the apartments project proceeds as currently proposed, the following issues must be addressed in order to assure your constituents are not adversely affected. During and post-construction, how will the project affect traffic flow during weekday rush hours when the two drawbridges are up and during shift changes at major downtown employers? There will be negative impacts on the existing businesses and residents located on adjoining properties such as the Market Street Inn, Opportunity Shop, Salisbury University, Eastern Shore Culture Museum, County Library, Health Department, banks, attorney's offices, plaza retailers, and rental apartments. In the request letter from Parker & Associates, the developer asked to waive the community impact statement, CIS. On July 20th, 2023, Planning and Zoning Commission approved the preliminary design and waived the CIS. And so, an analysis of during and post-construction impacts on utility grid, landfill capacity, flooding, shopping, etc., was not done and is directly related to density. Lacking this CIS study caused this project to fail to catch many important community issues at the preliminary phase. Increasing the density of this project exacerbates the effects of this omission. A detailed report of the current and future effects on citizens and businesses, both in and out of the city, was not done, except to produce forward-looking statements only accentuating the positives to promote this project. Information needed to produce an informed, reality-based decision was lacking. The Planning and Zoning Commission also approved the project without adhering to the city's current parking and loading standards. This is because during its hearing on July 20th, Michael Sullivan, representative of the developer, told the commission that they did not have the authority, which was wrong, misleading, and should be rectified. Therefore, no areas are set aside for off-street parking and loading. Can you cut my timing? Which puts to question, for the 300-plus new apartment dwellers, where will deliveries and pickups drive up and park for the UPS, FedEx, Walmart, Food Lion, pizzas? How and where will apartment dweller services like carpet steam cleaners, mowing and landscape crews with trailers, and cleaning people park for extended periods of time? And for the other property owners on the plaza and West Market Street, where and how will their service trucks and tour buses maneuver and park? Areas for these purposes could be available if the density were reduced to allow it. 13 people spoke against the apartment's planned density at the November 2nd, 2023 hearing. 5 hours of testimony were presented, and so the Board of Appeals that night denied the developer's request for added density. The Circuit Court judge on March 4th upheld their decision. Dear City Council, please consider these facts when you make your next decisions about downtown residential density. Consider the cost to the operation of the county seat, its businesses, employees, and visitors. Most of the above statements
Time.
Were from
Thank
sworn
you, Ms.
testimony. And I have a copy of my statement tonight and a copy of some calculations on how much fill is going to take.
Thank you, Ms. Worsham. Thank you, Ms. Worsham. Bruce Robson.
To raise the grade.
Just granted me another four?
No.
Yeah, Bruce Robson, 5286 Joy Row Lane. That's
Thank
in the
you.
County, not in the city. And I'm just representing myself and an ad hoc group of people who since January 1st have been picking up trash. Just got more and more upset about litter and you know what it does in terms of what things look like in our county, our home, et cetera. And we've been doing this literally, somebody's doing it every week since January 1st. And it's always nice to see the results. Sometimes they don't last very long, but it's nice to see the results. And we would really like to see a sustained effort on the part of the county, the city, and residents and businesses. And have put together a fairly detailed outline, although I would ask you not to draw too much attention to misspelling, et cetera, as I sat there and looked through it. But we understand that this is a huge challenge, a huge ongoing challenge, and believe that long-term solutions involve collaboration, multifaceted approach, et cetera, et cetera. Picking it up is one thing, but keeping it from having to do that every week is another. I'll hand this out to you. My intent tonight is really just a heightening of awareness that we're doing this, that we're serious, that we're I'm not going to stop, and really want to get the city on board. I want to thank Mayor Taylor and President Dowdy about their encouragement with me showing up here tonight, and other help that I've already gotten from Mayor Taylor. And talked to the county quite a bit, been to several of their meetings. I've talked to some other folks who I think are going to be a great resource in terms of making this effective. Again, it's going to take a long time. Our only asks at this point are regarding the city are what would be great from a PR and safety point of view is when we're out there on city streets to have signs that say, join us, pick up litter, clean Wicomico, something, you know, bright and catching, so when people drive by, again, we start to raise awareness on this ongoing effort. I would really like it if we made this a budget item in both the city and the county, and so we have a true commitment there. Thank you for your time, and I'll just leave.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruce. Mary Huebner.
Good evening. I'm Mary Huebner. I live at 1006 Heron Court. I'm here to say that I want to oppose the city council going into another closed meeting regarding the city, the Salisbury Town Center litigation. I'm a city taxpayer, and since this issue involves litigation that I and all city taxpayers may or will be paying for, we have a right to know what's going on in an open meeting. We voted you in to give us transparency, and now we're being locked out. Thank you. Oh, and could you guys please, the line on Carroll Street, the solid line that comes down to Division Street, it's such a wide area, it doesn't make any sense. Everybody's crossing that solid line to turn right. If you can erase it, that would be great. Thank you.
We do have a discussion next week for Carroll Street, so I'll make sure to mention that. Robert Taylor.
Robert Taylor, Salisbury resident since 1971. No, I wasn't born there. That happened 30 years earlier, but I did move here then. So much manure, so little time tonight. Let's start with the Ross. I heard the interesting comment that most of the city's waived property tax revenue was going to come back under the enterprise zone deal with the state, which I'm somewhat familiar with. And my understanding is that residential property does not qualify for that, only retail. I did some quick math. I see he's shaking his head, so I guess he agrees with me. I did some quick math on the lost revenue, which comes out to about $275,000 this year. This is property tax revenue now for the Ross under the Horizon program. Now, yes, there may be some retail space there that qualifies for it, and that may change the number some. But looking at the online documents, I think they're paying in property tax something like $7,000 this year because they do get some other kind of a cut, which I forget what it is. It 19,000, and I think 12 is knocked off, leave 7. My guess is that Brad Gillis's house in Tony Tank probably pays more tax than that. But I don't know. I haven't looked it up. I mean, of course, he doesn't pay it to the city because he's not in the city. But if he were in the city, he would probably pay more tax than they're paying on the Ross this year, property tax. I didn't really come to address that. I know I've just got a little bit of time. But there were some other things tonight. The gentleman whose truck was totaled, I live very close to there. I've stopped using that street since they put that in. I have another way I can get around just using North Park Drive. So, I mean, it's, yeah, now I think, and Ms. Bushell can correct me, I believe that under the governmental immunity law in Maryland, that negligent street design is exempt from that. So, theoretically, I think if something would happen, because, I mean, I don't see how you can look at that other than negligent street design. But that's something you might want to consider, because I think there's an exemption from governmental immunity for negligent street design in Maryland. There are only a couple things, and that's one. So anyway, I mean, these things have just come up. What I really came tonight to address, and I guess probably when you have your clubhouse meeting with Ms. Patel in closed session, there's going to be some discussion further. She brought it up in open comment last week. How can we get the developer to be able to do the Salisbury Town Center now that there's a real problem in court? And I think that the next plan, and I've represented developers, so I have a little insight, is going to be, well, let's just change the zoning code. Let's up the 40 units per acre to 80. Let's double it. Then they'd be fine. Now, let's look at this seriously, folks. If anything, the 40 units per acre should be lowered because, number one, you've done away with all your, you've sold all your parking lots. Number two, we got the Ross. They're taking a third, maybe, of the excess, not excess, but total capacity of the parking garage, if as and when that gets filled up. We know that's not now, but it will certainly happen sooner or later. And, you know, what's going to happen when you add, if Salisbury Town Center goes through, 200 and some units, 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms, probably total of somewhere over 300 bedrooms, if you take the 3 bedrooms and throw it all in. And where's the parking going to be? Because you've destroyed, you're destroying lot 15, you're destroying lot 11, and with the rinky-dink park you're building here, you're essentially destroying almost all of lot 1. Plus, you're generating, if they go through with it.
Time, Mr. Taylor, thank you.
Okay, and plus on that, they want the city to build the parking for their tenants. I mean, this is absurd.
Thank you so much. Casey Taylor.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. Casey Taylor, 29550 Stillwood Drive in Del Mar, Maryland. I'm a resident of Wicomico County. I'm just here to piggyback from Mr. Goldberg's speaking earlier. I have been a resident in Shadow Hills for over 18 years now. And when we first moved in there, and still, we could hear ATVs, four-wheelers, dirt bikes shooting at all hours of the night. So on a summer night when we had our windows open, this is all we would hear. We have called the police departments, and whenever we call, it's always, oh, that's city limits. No, that's Wicomico County. And it takes 5 minutes to decide whose jurisdiction this resides in. Now that we do know that it's in the city limits, so now we believe it's under the city of Salisbury police, but I think Wicomico County does have an agreement with the city of police that because it's owned by Wicomico County, that the sheriff's office is now patrolling that area. So the trespassing has been an issue, and with these events going to be happening, if they do happen, we pray that they don't, we're afraid that it's going to be opening up another can of worms. We have seen many posts on Facebook regarding, oh, this is going to be open all the time. Oh, it's open to four-wheelers. Oh, it's open to motorcycles and dirt bikes. We know there's an issue with dirt bikes riding down Route 13 right now. Are they going to then start coming back to this area is our fear. We just do not want to open that can of worms, and we hope you really take that into consideration as well. Thank you.
John Wilgemuth.
John Wilgemuth, city resident and taxpayer. I first want to address the dumpster fire label that the last commentator at last Monday's meeting wrongfully attached to completed and planned Salisbury projects that do not meet density allowances. That was a false claim. It was wrong and it was misleading. The high majority of projects done in the city, completed or planned, meet their density requirements. The dumpster fire label can be applied to the currently proposed Salisbury Town Center apartment project that exceeds almost double the overly generous maximum density that might be considered. The maximum density of 40 units per acre or less, 40 units per acre is double what exists elsewhere in the city, would be considered only after an extensive range of factors to mitigate the detrimental effects of high density is done. As we all know, actions to mitigate these effects of high density for the town center was not done. It was not done by the wannabe developer as required per proper planning and regulatory procedures. Hence, the gross lack of not following regulatory procedures, lack of action to mitigate detrimental effects to the city, obscuring basic facts that we get all the time, example that we just heard, is typical of what's being done to divert attention away from development, such as the town center project, with its flaws and potential harm to the city, as I and others have previously elaborated last week, the week before, et cetera, in voice and electronic means. If the Salisbury Town Center project continued as is, we would be facing extremely unaffordable costs to the city. We taxpayers would have to pay that bill. That would be a higher tax rate for sure, with absolutely no benefits back to the city. We've all heard the Horizon program does not pay for itself. We heard that over and over and over again. Do the math, it does not. We don't get affordable housing from this project. There is no affordable apartments in that complex. So these fallacies need to be stopped and examined as unjustifiable giveaways to developers that rob the city finances with no financial return, and for that matter, no benefit back to the city of any kind. We don't get any housing that we need. We don't get any kind of entertainment that could go downtown. I repeat, no benefit of any kind to the city, just unjustified giveaways that only benefit a would-be developer. The bottom line is huge unaffordable costs that harm the city with no return back to the city would be the literal and figurative dumpster fires that would come if the Salisbury Town Center project, as currently proposed, continues and has wrongly been professed as better than sliced bread, which we know it's not.
Thank you. Seeing no other public comments, we'll move forward to our administration and council comments. We'll start with administration.
Good to see everybody. I can only bite my tongue for so long when people say things. I'm the one doing the math. I've been doing the math since we started the Horizon program. We are on the eve of budget discussions, and just a couple things to clear the record straight. The Ross Project in the next 20 years will yield $1.8 million in new revenue for the city of Salisbury, money that would not have ever happened had the Horizon Incentive Program not happened. So we can talk all we want about that. A 5% tax increase is about $1.3 million, so that project alone just saved a 5% property tax increase. Lot 10, same scale, $30 million plus project. If it was to happen, another $1.8 million. Every development that is part of the Horizon program starts at $10 million. That is a $600,000 minimum increase to our tax base. It's not coming out of any one of your pockets. It is new money. As we talk about sanitation trucks, as we talk about public infrastructure we need, it's either coming from the people in this room, the city taxpayers, or it's coming from new money. When we expand our tax base, when we bring new money to the table, we can do more. Let's not lose sight of that as we talk about incentivizing development and bringing new money to our local economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Taylor?
Yeah. A couple of shout-outs. I wanted for Mike Dryden this week and Brandon King, who repaired the pothole at College Avenue.
Yes.
That was a that wasn't just an average coal patch. That was a nice job. He did a very nice job with that. I also want to shout out for Mike. He was a big help on working with the railroad with regard to getting the two culverts cleaned out below the trellis over on Emerson Avenue. And hopefully that's going to resolve itself in the next couple days, meaning we'll have them cleaned out and that going forward they'll be cleaned out. So when we have another rise in the tide or rain, not tide, but raising the water level, we'll get the flow we need to get across to, Emerson Avenue. And I also want to thank Jerry Benton, who has been a big help on that project as well. And he's just a volunteer, ex-Marine, and a great guy. And he has cleaned out 154 tires from the waterway and 195 bags of trash by himself. So he's a great guy, and I've gotten to know him since they became mayor, and he's been a big help. So that was the last thing. May I ask one question? When was that 227? When was that sidewalk put in?
It was past summer.
Okay. All right, thanks. I want to catch you before I left.
Councilwoman Gregory, you want to get us started?
Just as a neighbor, I have spoken with the transportation department about that particular sidewalk. And my understanding is the way it was explained, is any time a property is redeveloped, it's required by law for us to put a new sidewalk in. So that's why, as those houses get either turned over to new ownership, but there is a discussion to be had about possibly seeing if the neighbors would agree to putting more sidewalks in. I'm not sure if that's a possibility. I would love to see it. I'd love to see more accessibility. It's very difficult. The curb right off, one door down from my house doesn't even have an ADA ramp in it, yet we redid ADA ramps on the other end of the street, so I get it.
I think they could have just put it into a sidewalk fund, from what I understand. That was another option that they had when they were doing that.
Yeah.
It wasn't really required that they do it. It was an option for them to do it.
Right.
It was just poorly designed.
Yeah. So that's something I'm going to bring up to get, again. I had this discussion with the transportation department a few months ago, so... and to the topic of cleaning up around the city, I was able to return to the Sustainability Committee. They just had their meeting, the March meeting. They're getting ready for the April 3rd Friday, which is the theme of it is Sustainable Spring. There's going to be a lot of information on sustainability, different projects and things like that for folks to participate in, activities for kids, all of those sorts of things. So I really hope to see you guys out there. If you're interested in environmental causes or cleaning up the city, they are currently organizing with other city committees, trying to cross-pollinate as much as possible because everything kind of overlaps. For instance, a while back, they were able to organize with the Disability Advisory Committee on getting wheelchair accessible reusable bags to folks who need them. In fact, they still have some on hand. So if you or someone you love or know is a wheelchair user, please reach out, and they would be able to provide you with a bag that would help them shop sustainably while they're out and about. And to the tune of cleanups, they are going to be doing one cleanup a month now that the weather is getting better. If I can get my screen back up. It's the next one is actually this Saturday. The meetup point is Truett Community Center, and I'd love to see you out there. They will be every month on the third Saturday in different locations around the city. They're trying to hit every district as they go around the city. So they're going to be in different locations, and this one is going to be at Truett Community Center in Council President's District.
Yes, I did get that email. I think they're starting at 9 or 9:30.
Yeah.
So I told them I added it to my calendar.
Yes.
We'll see. I can be at three places at one time, so we'll see how that works.
I'll join you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilwoman DeShiel?
Okay. Never mind. Here. First of all, a delayed thank you to KCU and HR. I failed to mention a thank you for the trolley tour set up for us. Next, I had the pleasure, absolute delightful pleasure, of attending the dinner that the students that are involved with FoodWorks, and they served dinner to over 100 people in the neighborhood on Newton Street in the community center last week, and it was awesome. It's a culminating event for these students have been given an opportunity to just feed their desire to be chefs, and they graduate with this, and it was just wonderful. Today was awesome. I had a tour of the Aircraft Maintenance Tech School that is being housed at our Salisbury Airport. The county has purchased 3 planes to work on, and then a smaller plane as well. It's an absolutely unbelievable collaboration between the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, Wicomico County, and Piedmont. So this is a benefit. They're hoping, keep your fingers crossed, to have 25 students start in the fall. And if you want to see it, it is awesome. And the other thing that they're doing with the Airport Commission is they are in discussion with another low-cost carrier coming on board that would be available to fly to Florida. And they have come up with a strategic plan for the airport. Everybody's got a plan, so they're not excluded from that. And lastly, Chief Frampton over here, the fire department has provided 3 meals for Hands and Hearts Ending Homelessness. When I say 3 meals, that translates to 6, because they really serve an army when they bring food to the shelter. So I want to thank them. We've had 3, and we have 2 more. So please, thank you, Chief Frampton. You put out that challenge, which I appreciate, being on the board of HHEH and seeing these men, and the appreciation is unparalleled by anything else you'll ever be involved with. And I also want to thank the City Council, who provided a dinner last week as well. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman DeShiel. Councilwoman Blake?
So many good things to say. I hope everyone can hear me. I'm trying to be by the volume rules. First and foremost, I just want to remind everybody about the open gym at the Truett Street. It's every Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m. Is that you?
It sure
that's
is,
you?
Yes.
That's you.
Yes.
That's you.
Yeah.
So that's very important. And I know there's a flag football thing coming. I tried to look at the dates of that. Isn't that soon or next weekend?
Yes, it is coming up.
And it's for both. If April was here, she'd be bragging about this. It's at Billie Jean Park.
Yes.
And March 18th and 22nd. And please go out and spread the word about the flag football activities that are coming. So I think that the city is picking up on trying to implement more activities for our youth, which was nice to see. And then I was very impressed with hearing feedback about the open table and the community dinner project at the Newton Street. So
that was a program brought up by PACE, the flag football. That was a PACE program that the kids actually implemented, and they worked in with the NFL to get the grants and get that started. So extremely proud of them.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Okay, so I did want to bring up a couple different things. I am looking forward to our administration to address the issues that we have here with the Shadow Hill Subdivision Homeowners Association project. I've read this letter here, this initial letter, and I would like to say we can get this on one of our work sessions for a follow-up discussion. I'm very curious to how the county can do this level of adjusting with the city's property, what we own, and how that occurred, and also look into this alleged contract about some type of entertainment, which it is kind of a vague MOU. It looks like entertainment can be very broadly defined, and I don't even want to imagine how much entertainment that would be or what that exactly would mean, but I really don't want to imagine that. The other couple things are I would like to make it known, because it was such a big issue here tonight in a public comment. On August the 23rd, 2021, there was a resolution passed. It was 3119 in regards to Ms. Patel being special counsel. It's not any additional money to the city. Additional counsel is usually and typically with all municipalities, so anything that Ms. Boucher would be working on is obviously billable, but if she's not working on the special projects that we need to have her work on and that Ms. Patel works on them, it would be the same bill. So it's not like we're accumulating additional money for having Ms. Patel. That resolution also clarifies that Ms. Patel works on behalf of mayor and the majority of the council, and we were unaware that Ms. Patel was sent to the hearing, and unbeknownst to people who may not have understood or known, she was apparently instructed not to say anything. The council has now realized this, and we will be filing a motion for reconsideration in regards to the current issues that are going on with Judge Jackson, I believe it's Jackson, and we are also, the city council is also looking very diligently at our zoning codes. So these things will be coming forth, and I'm looking forward to the team to resolve this and keep our development moving forward and keeping what's good for Salisbury forward. And my favorite last announcement, which I have fan favorites in the back there who love this announcement the most, is if you are healthy enough, please, please consider donating blood. Also, I did not realize this, but you could recently the MVA started where you can update or renew your license in the mail or online. And in the mail, they actually sent you have the Power to Donate Life pamphlet. And it's very, very informative and informational. And you can actually get it on their website, DonateLifeMaryland.org, just FYI. And that is it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Yes, we'll look into getting that item on one of our April agendas. We'll give administration time to get prepared for that. Thank you all for bringing it to our attention. I want to, again, it's Women's History Month, and I have four women who work their hardest and keep me straight, and they majority of them worked to organize this past, I believe it was Thursday. They organized for council to provide a dinner at the Hands and Hearts, a homeless shelter. So together we provided dinner. I did not cook, because again, I want those residents to still be with us.
But you served.
But yes, we picked up, and Councilwoman DeShiela and I we proudly served. And it was nice to one, again, they were very appreciative, but again to interact with those individuals who were one, very appreciative, but to also for us to lend time and energy out of our day. So again, we realize that that is an issue in our neighborhoods. And again, while we can't solve it tomorrow, we're working to definitely mitigate those things in our community. So I'm looking forward to that being something in our past. So thank you again, Councilwoman DeShiel and my other councilwomen. I had the pleasure these past couple weeks to visit a lot of our elementary schools in the area. While, again, that's not under our purview, but I believe strongly in enriching and being a part of our elementary, middle, and high school students. Again, they're our future leaders, so I was able to go to the Pemberton Read Across America Day, which I think Mayor Taylor joined as well. Yeah, he was there. Hopefully they gave you a hard book to read, a pretty fun one.
my reading level.
Dr. Seuss.
Yes. I went to the Leaders Gallery at Glen Avenue, and then I read for Black History Month at Westside Primary, whichever the one is, down off of Nanticoke. So love being a part of that. Love when they invite us as council persons, and they want to learn more. So keep bringing the events to us. We'll make time in our busy schedule, and I appreciate my council and our administration for being community leaders and community persons. So thank you all so much. And with that, this meeting is now adjourned, and I will call for motion and second to convene in closed session before a contract is awarded or bids are open, to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy or the contents of a bid or proposal if public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the body, public body, to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process as authorized by the state government article, section 3-305, subsection B-14. Council will discuss options whether to lease or sell Ann Street Village to include matters related to negotiating strategy and the contents of a possible proposal, having found that a public discussion would adversely impact the ability of the city to participate in the proposal process should the city decide to move in that direction.
So moved.
Second.